Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we're here with
Ines Nacera
and
Kenyatta Rogers.
And we're talking Spunk, which is now at Signature Theater, now through June 23rd. Thanks so much for taking the time to come in, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Now, this is, of course, it's based on three short stories by Zora Neale Hurston. Obviously, most people remember Their Eyes Were Watching God. That was her signature work. But my favorite, when I first discovered her, was I think it was like in an African-American literature course back in college at University of Maryland. And we read Sweat, which was about, what was her name, Delia?
Yeah.
And washing the clothes and Sykes with the snake. And okay, yeah, we won't spoil it. But who wants to take the version that Sweat, you know, based on?
Sure, I'll take it.
Cool. So,
just a quick premise of each one.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So Sweat is about Delia, who is a washerwoman, who is a long-suffering wife with her husband, Sykes. And they've had a contentious relationship from the very beginning. And by contentious, it's pretty much one-sided. Sykes has issues, and he's kind of trying to deal in the world the best he can. And the town sees it. Everyone sees it. But it's really about her journey from a space of what do I do when I'm in this relationship, knowing that I love him, trying to live him the best that I can, to I think I need to find space for myself and how do I love myself. And so there are battles between the two that have to do with property, that have to do with identity, that have to do with who's up and down in the relationship, and you'll see who wins.
A little bit of a karma ending, if I remember. So, and it's you two, right? Do you play
yes.
in all three versions? You play both actors in all three stories?
The characters keep changing through each story. So each actor plays a different character in the different stories. Yeah.
But what I'm asking is, are you two playing Sykes and Delia?
Yes.
Okay. And then you also reappear in the other ones, or is it different actors?
It's the same core group of people, and we just play different
characters. Gotcha. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Wanted to knock that out. All right, awesome. So, all right, and then what's the second story? It's in the 40s Harlem, right?
Yes, Harlem Slang, which is a lot of fun. I'm in maybe the end of it, but I get to hear a lot of it backstage. But it's about these two men, and it's just a beautiful relationship and dynamic of these two men and kind of going at each other and competing against each other and catching up with each other about their lives. And they're these two pimps, and they're just exaggerating, but also telling really funny stories about their life and their relationship with women. And there's this woman that comes in the end, and they're trying to holler at her, and she's enjoying it, and she's taking it in and learning about them, but then she puts them in their place, like, no, you are not going to talk to me like that, and I am in control of this situation, even though normally men see themselves in control of that type of situation. So it's a lot of fun.
And I said it, but just so I can have the soundbite, explain the decade and the location.
Yeah, so it is Harlem, and it's 1920s.
1920s, 1930s.
Yeah, 1920s, 1930s. And Zora, she grew up in Eatonville, Florida, so you see the beginning of the story there, and then she moved to Harlem for the Renaissance era. And so you get to explore that time of Harlem in its heyday with the men in their zoot suits.
We love the zoot suits. So you're saying Sweat, is Sweat more based on when she was growing up down south, and then the second piece here is about when she moved to Harlem?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, exactly.
Cool. So it kind of charts her life, too. That's really cool.
It does. And she was an anthropologist by trade, right? So she's not only someone who can listen to how people speak, the rhythms of how people speak, but she's also someone who can take that 20-foot, 70-foot, 100-foot, you know, look down below to say, oh, I can also kind of dissect what's going on in society and also have a little bit of fun while I'm doing it. So
awesome.
She's brilliant that way.
Awesome. Yeah, totally. All right. Part three. What is part three? It's about a young marriage?
Yes.
The Gilded Six Bits.
Oh, I love this one. So this one, you look into the relationship of Missy May and Joe Banks, and they're just this lovely couple in the beginning, and then there is this very horrible thing that happens in the middle of their marriage, and you see them trying to grapple with that and trying to rebuild their marriage or keep it strong. And you just see this beautiful dynamic of marriage and relationships and how hard it is, but how they end up being there's a story of redemption in the end and how they make it work despite all the troubles or what society may say. And the mother of Joe Banks lands it to them like, no, you will stay in this relationship and make this work. So it's just a beautiful story that I love.
Why does she insist that? Why is the mom? It's a, you know, it's interesting. They got to work through everything.
It's actually not provided. She shows up very quickly and there's a change of heart. But as much as it is about, I think, instruction, it's also about patience and mm-hmm. love and making sure that you look into each other's eyes and that you end up together at the end of the day. Right. There's so many beautiful things that the older couples always say to me, you know, never go to bed angry and mm-hmm. stay back to back and let nothing get between you. But there's also this kind of patience that time will heal you. You know, it's good to have the sages tell you what to do every once in a while. Thank you very much, Mama. But it's also, I think, about the passage of time and how wounds can heal.
And also the women in each of these stories are the person that brings it forward. And I would say that the woman in this story is the mother that's making them see how important this marriage is and why they need to stick together. And there are important things coming up that only make it so that they need to stay together. And so I find that very beautiful that the woman is, you know, this matriarch telling them what to do. And it, you know, is the right choice for this relationship.
Yeah. Talk about how Zora Neale Hurston was so ahead of her time, woman playwright. And, you know, just listening to all three stories you're talking about, the first one, you know, is an abused wife who sort of fights back. The second one, you know, is in Harlem, and you said a woman getting hollered at in the end said, no, I won't be talked to like that. And the third one is, you know, this young marriage. But talk about how, you know, this is so ahead of its time. Like right now we're talking about, you know, finally some female filmmakers are breaking through. Finally, post Me Too, yay. But like this was decades ago. Just talk, you know, talk about how she was so ahead of the curve.
My gosh, she's such a feminist writer, and to be able to write that in the 1920s, 30s, and be a Black woman is a huge thing. And that's a wonderful thing about Zora. She was unapologetically herself, and she wasn't going to let anyone stop her from being that or stop her from writing that. And she knew that what she was writing was important and needs to be told, and are true stories that were happening. It's not like we were a weak, marginalized group. No, we had agency, we had power, we were triumphant, we were resilient. And she wanted to share those stories that she saw and she lived. And I love that she was just such a feminist and anthropologist, and you see that through her work, and it's brilliant.
Awesome. All right, so in terms of the signature production, though, how is it all sort of stitched together? You know, is it, you know, lights go out in between? Is it, you know, episodic, or is it sort of, you know, how's it woven here?
It's episodic, but I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about the music and how she wrote these short stories, but then George C. Wolfe put this together with Chick Street Man, and they came up with this beautiful kind of bluesy, jazzy riff that happens in between. So lighting-wise, yes, you're going to have some little spaces where you say, yes, one scene is over in the next one, but it flows through the music, I think.
Mostly guitar,
but also lots of singing. So the stories are stitched together, and I think it's told in the key of the blues, right? Mm-hmm. The blues is ever present, not only between the pieces, but also inside the pieces themselves, but also inside the way that she writes. So you never quite mm-hmm. lose, right? She's writing in dialect. She's also writing in rhythms that you kind of understand and hear. So it's kind of seamless. When the guitar picks up, you kind of didn't think it ever left.
Sure.
So they're woven together in that kind of way. And our director, Timothy Douglas, also has some pretty slick ways of making the stories talk to each other so that you can mm-hmm. feel a connective tissue between all of them.
We love Timothy Douglas. He came in for, what was it, King Hedley second. And he's coming in a couple times. He's awesome, man.
He's the best.
Yeah. So wait, who's actually on stage strumming? Is it one solo guitarist? Is it a certain piece band, or what is it?
No, just one guitarist, Jonathan Mosley Perry. He's the guitar man. And then we have Ayanna Blake, who's Blue Speak Woman, who's amazing and sings throughout the show. And also Marty Lamar Austin is another vocalist within the show. And the songs appear between all the three tales, so it's a great glue, like you just said, that stitches everything together.
And our final actor is Drew Drake.
Yes,
Drew Drake. Yes. Okay. I like that. The guitar glue that holds it all together. I love it. visually, you mentioned the zoot suits, but actually, let's take all three chronologically. What costume-wise, you know, how does signature and, you know, the visual, the set design, the costume design, if it's projections, whatever it is, you know, how do you set the visual? You know, like we're radio, so paint a picture for first for the sweat and then the zoot suits and then the marriage.
Ooh.
What do we see?
The costumes are when we first start off, before we even go to sweat, we are the players. We come out and we're with you. We hang out with you for a while. And so the costumes, although they hint to period, you can also see, because everything old is new again, right? So you can see some influences in, you know, 2019. You're like, oh, they kind of have a little bit of a 1930s thing going on, but that hat looks like something I would see on some hipster here or there. So, so there's some things that kind of bleed between the two, and then we do a pretty quick change, and we're landed into this kind of agrarian, you know, Florida Southern thing. So, And so I think that the costumes hint at period and that they evoke who these people are, I think, from their character. But they don't only land in period. They tell a story beyond just that about people and their endurance through the American experiment. So yeah, there are little bits and pieces in the costumes that you can find here and there. There's some kente and some of the costumes that kind of shows up in some interesting pattern work that our costume designer, Kendra Rye, has done. So people have picked up on those hints and said, I noticed that was in that, and I noticed that was there. So there's some fun things. There's some surprises inside the costumes as well.
Awesome.
For sure. And there are complete different costume changes for each tale, which is a lot of fun. And like Missy May in the end is in this very like simple, sweet dress. And my middle character, Girl, she's in this like sexy, sleek two-piece with a coat and a big hat. And and just in the beginning, like very Southern, very Florida. And I would say the set, when you walk in, it, at least when I look at it, it just feels like it's going to be hot. Like, it just looks like summer. It's just wood. It's a small wooden stage within the middle of the room of the Ark, which is already a very intimate space. And we're looking into everyone's eyes when we're saying a lot of our dialogue, which is great. It's so intimate. And you're both feeding this energy and this storytelling from each other, which is great. It's just wood slabs everywhere. So it just looks rural and Southern and intimate and hot.
Inez may have said it, but it's
in the title. Yeah. You're like, whoa. Nice.
Inez may have already said it. I'm not sure, but it's in the round, right? So we're surrounded on all sides. It is a forum. It is a time for people to get together and not only hear a story, but also have fun and participate. So we do ask for some audience participation here.
Oh, yeah.
And where do you, with all, you know, all three of these, you know, short stories by Hurston has, you know, they each have their own title, but why Spunk? Why is that the overarching umbrella title here now?
For me, it is about resiliency and is about taking what you've been given, which is not much, and turning it into a fully fleshed out, beautiful, exuberant culture. There are stories, you live your life, but within the culture and within the African-American experience, it is done with zest, it is done with flair, it is done with love, and that goes into everything that we do, how we love hard, how we fight hard, how we cook, how we dress. And so there is a signature to the way that we do things here in America that is one of the greatest American exports that people around the world try to appreciate, try to get some of that. And so that word right there kind of, I think, kind of puts it all in one little fun word called spunk. But
I think that's, you described it probably better than I could have. So that's awesome. Tell me a little bit more about yourselves. You know, where'd you grow up? How'd you get into acting?
I grew up in Montgomery County. I kind of moved throughout, but I live in Brooklyn now, but I'm staying in Germantown, Maryland with my wonderful parents. Mm-hmm. And I did a lot of like MC dinner theater, but I think I really got my stomping ground going when I did the Overtures program at Signature Theater, which was a great intensive that it's a long day of singing, dancing, and acting, but it's so much fun, and I learned so much and was able to book a show after that, and then I just kept performing in the area and now in New York. So just been performing here and singing and also in a band called Heroin, and so just doing all the artsy things.
Awesome. Check out Heroin.
Yeah.
With an E.
With an E.
Okay. I had to clarify.
I was
going to
say it, but I was like, I'm just hoping people just assume. Yeah.
Whoa. All right. Awesome. Good. I'm glad you said that. All right. How about you, sir? Where'd you grow up?
Oh, I grew up and down the East Coast, all over from Connecticut all the way down to Georgia. But I went to high school in Howard County at Centennial High School.
Okay.
All right, Eagles.
Centennial and what? You said Germantown. Was that Seneca, Northwest?
Northwest.
All right.
Yeah.
And after years of going here and there, coming back from school and teaching in South Carolina, I came to perform and teach here in D.C. Been here for 20-plus years. I teach at Montgomery College, and I've had a good time over there. So Inez came through Montgomery College's Summer Dinner Theater program. We have so many Montgomery College students as Signature coming through their program as well, not only overtures but also performing on their stages. So it's been good to see, to start off as young faculty and now be longer in the tooth faculty and to look across the hall while I'm performing at Signature into the eyes of my students. So that is a great full circle thing that's happened here at Signature.
Their eyes are watching you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, closely. I mean, anything else you guys want to say in closing? I have more than enough to work with, but, you know, in closing, you know, they've listened to this interview. Why should they come out?
Come see the show. Come see a very unique story about Black people being resilient, being vibrant, funny, and this is who we are. And I want people to see this story and especially see Black women be resilient and feminist and strong, especially during this time, during Zora's time. And it's a beautiful show with amazing, amazing actors, beautiful set, beautiful costumes, and come see it.
Awesome. Anything you want to add on that front?
If you really, really, really like having fun, you should see the show. If you don't like having fun, you probably shouldn't see the show.
Yeah. And if you don't like having fun, then just stop listening to this right now because we don't want to know you. All right. Thanks, guys. Again, cool. It's Spunk, Three Tales by Zora Neale Hurston at Signature Theater in Shirlington now through June 23rd. Thanks so much.
Cool. Right. Thank you.